gamers, and welcome to episode 450 of the Super Ultra Podcast Arcade for March 24th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel Nicholson, and with me is my co-host, Dominic Stallworth. What's going on this week, Dominic?
The madness of March, Daniel.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's going on. College hoops, girls and men's and women's. Yeah, man, it's been watching a lot of basketball, man. A lot of basketball. Also, some baseball talks too, because Major League Baseball is about to start up, and actually, games already started technically. I'll start off with the baseball and end with the biggest news with the college hoops. So baseball actually had two games already started because they had a special Seoul, Korea game. The Dodgers played Padres, and the Dodgers played the Padres, and it was a two game series. Like, one game was like the Dodgers were home, and the other game was like the Padres were home. So they take away just one of each home game. Each team won one game. First game was the Dodgers. Second game was the Padres, which was a high scoring game. It was like a low football score.
Oh, wow.
Type of game. Like, I forget what the final score was. I know somebody had 15 runs. Put it like that. The big news with that was that Yamada, the new Japanese pitcher that the Dodgers picked up, he had a bad outing. He got put out the first. He gave out like 5 runs starting out. But some other news before that game, between the first and second game, came out was with Ohtani, with his translator, apparently in some type of gambling kerfuffle here. And thing is, it was some wired money, like $4 million, but it came from Ohtani's account. That was his wired money, and it's tied to California. Where, he originally was, with the Angels, and he still is with the Dodgers. Thing is, in California, you're not allowed to gamble. Even though gambling is pretty much legal in a lot of states now, as far as sports gambling, California still isn't. So, technically...
a liberal hellhole, Dominic.
So then...
choose to lose all their money.
Ohtani's camp was going to put out a statement. They was going to let the translator put out a statement where he technically did put it out until they said, no, that statement's not true. But first, the statement he said was that, like, basically, yes, he had problems with gambling, and Ohtani was helping him. Like, he was helping me out to pay my debts, so basically along those lines. I'm just paraphrasing. But they then... I don't know how long after that, when the person interviewed him with that statement, they said no. The Tommy's camp got together and they said no. Thing is, actually, it was theft, and that we're working with the FBI in the investigation. So then it's like, wait a minute, what? It sounded all good, It was like, okay, the guy said he got, and Tommy just. How about his debt? I mean, you can still go say things like, oh, man, was it really him? But, you had to prove it. I'm saying? So, it still sounded, it was still spin in a way that, hey, it has nothing really, the only thing with the Tawny is that he was just helping his friend. Because they say they're friends also. But now they're saying theft. So now, it's a lot of problems with this because it's like, how is it theft? Like, how was he able to ride under Ohtani's name,
right?
Without Ohtani knowing,
it's like just let me give you let me get your credentials and I'll
yeah. Because the bookie said, now I think I heard reports of people talk to the bookie because he's under of course investigation. He said that he never talked to Ohtani, but he seen that the checks were in Ohtani's name. He just never questioned it because. As long as they cleared, it's all good. And also,
it's a lot of money.
And also, that it was good for business because people would see, like, hey, Ohtani's doing with me. So it's good for people to know, like, hey, I can go to this bookie. He's a, I mean, if a guy like Atani's doing something with him, then it's fine. Yeah. So he just let it, he just, hey, let it be that way. And plus, it's just that it would be too hard to do that without the guy knowing, you know? Mm-hmm. Like that's the thing. That's why I just can't believe, like, yeah, I don't know if it's Steph. And then some people even say that maybe Atani was actually gambling. He's just a middleman. And he just fell on the sword. He's going to fall on the sword for Atani.
Good man.
And, yeah, this is pretty big. Like, and now, recently, MLB is now saying they're investigating. First, they weren't saying it because some people were thinking, like, man, MLB definitely don't want this to happen. Which they don't.
Of course.
They don't. Because this is the biggest player, man, that they have right now. And probably ever. I mean, right. A guy who could pitch and hit. And he's the biggest paid player also. Excuse me. So, yeah, man. And this is huge. And some people joked about, say, oh, this is why he deferred. Because if they kicked him out, like, for, like, if he has this, to be out the league for so many years, he'll still get paid, though, in those later years. Because they're at, you know, he doesn't play those years. But, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, the jokes are funny. That's what I really like. Yeah. I like the jokes that people make.
they're pretty good.
Yeah. But yeah, this is interesting. Like, really, here's the thing. Like, with sports, I don't care, because I feel like even before this, gambling has tainted sports. Even before sports is, like, gambling has become legal in most states. Like, gambling has tainted sports already. But I did like that sports still held a high regard into that they won't accept gambling. Like, they're still pushing, like, nah, we're just against gambling. Like, even though it's out there, but they're not going to let, like, say, players, nah, they can't gamble or do this and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, known, you know? But now that they really is opening up, it's like, man, I don't care. I'm sorry. Like, it could be Atani who gambled. Now, you will say that, oh, but, like, it's really a big deal if you gamble on baseball. Now, none of the things, nobody has said yet that they gambled on baseball. Because the guy said he only gambled on soccer and some other sports, but not baseball.
Soccer, how Japanese of him.
So, it's like, I just feel like, man, for me, I'm always thinking, like, this stuff is already tainted anyway. It's already done. It's like, to me, it's like, whatever. It's like, this is all a joke anyway, because of, like, just what they... Like, because I don't trust any of this stuff. I mean, I still enjoy watching the games and things of that nature, but... Yeah, but, I mean, I'm not against anything happening to Atani either. I'm not going to be fighting, like, oh, man, he shouldn't get punished. No, I mean, whatever happens, for me. Like, I don't care. Like, Atani, he could be gone, I wouldn't care. Or he could just be staying, I wouldn't care. I just don't... It's like, it doesn't matter to me. Because I'm like, I'm still going to watch this game. It's like, because I want to see my O's are good, and I just want to see them play, you know? So, and he's not part of the Orioles, so, like, I just don't care. Like, I definitely don't care, one way or another. I'm glad we have to deal with that type of problem right now. Like, that's not the issue over here. Oh, but big news for the Orioles. Peter Angelos has passed away.
Oh,
the,
man.
Former owner of the Orioles.
The only thing keeping him alive was the Orioles, Dominic.
That's what I was going to say. But, you know, his son was doing the operation because he was, like, really old and probably in just deathbed. And now he finally passed. And, I mean, he owned the Orioles for his time. I mean, I didn't start really disliking him until they start losing. and realized they weren't spending any money. It's not spending any money. And, I mean, I don't hate him or anything. I mean, it's just because at the end of sports, you know. Yeah. Like, compared to him to, like, Snyder. Like, Snyder, I really started hating because, I mean, I didn't like him. But then I started hating him when I started hearing those allegations of stuff happening. That's when I was like, oh, yeah, get him out of here. I didn't hear nothing like that happened with Peter Angelos. It was just mainly, oh, man, I didn't like because he was cheap.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think the only good thing I really heard was that during the players, when they back in the 90s when they had the lockout, I think he was more on the player's side, I believe. He's one of the owners who was on the player's side. That's really I read that in a book somewhere. And that's like really a good thing I heard. Like I really attached to him with that. But I mean, see, I didn't really pay attention to the owners of baseball, like really, honestly, back in the day. So there's people who do got, there's some pieces out there, there's some good pup pieces out there really about the good things he's has done and things of that nature. And yeah, I mean, hey, he owned the Orioles. And yeah, he's an old guy. I mean, he had to pass. We knew he was going to pass. So, hey, he got to live that life. He got to live the dream of owning a team and being really rich. So, good for him.
Yeah.
And a lawyer. March Madness. So, yeah, it's been crazy. Like, me and you are in this group where we did brackets, and you just want to be weird and pick,
like, a team. Hunt for the underdogs, Dominic.
Yeah. I was like, come on, man. You got at least, you could have them winning some rounds, but come on, like, win the whole thing. I know the one team you had, South Carolina, win it all. They lost in the first round. And a team, I had a reasonable team, Auburn, and they lost to goddamn Yale in the first round. Man, I never had that in my life. That I had a team I picked to win a championship lose in the first round. I never had that since I've been doing brackets.
Man.
I was so pissed because that game, my dude got kicked out in the first few minutes of the game because of a flagrant 2 foul. He had no business doing. Like, what the hell were you thinking? Like, I don't care if it was a retaliation. It was like, yo, you're supposed to be so much better than this team. Yeah. Just focus on winning this game. Do not put yourself in a position to let that happen. Now, if you're blowing them out or something, if you want to do something, you go to hell head. A loss is not somewhere they can kick you out the next game. But, I mean, but darn. I'm like, yo, the game just started, and you're kicked out? Are you freaking serious? And I didn't watch all the game, because I said I was going to turn it back. Because I was just thinking, like, okay, Auburn's going to come out and blow this team out. It's like, it's not even worth watching. But that's all seeing the score. I was like, oh, my God, what the hell's going on? At the end, man, it's just they had chances, but they couldn't get things going, man. Like, it was bad. I was like, that was just one of my brackets. My other bracket I have is my North Carolina bracket. I have North Carolina winning it all. That's still good. My Final Four is still good so far as of this podcast. Mm-hmm. I'll see what happens. But yeah, yeah, it's been fun watching these games, man. These upsets happening. Like I said, Yale had won. Oakland had won. They lost as of yesterday of this podcast, though. But they won the first round against Kentucky. There were some other upsets happening. None of the number ones lost as of yet. They haven't. None of the number ones have lost yet. But today is a couple of number ones. UConn and Purdue are playing. I think Houston's playing today, too. I don't think they played yesterday. I'm not sure. North Carolina's already in a Sweet 16. The girls, I haven't been really watching the girls. I've just been looking at, seeing the Wando Maryland girls. They were winning pretty big, but then they just fell apart and lost. So that's unfortunate because I had them in the Sweet 16. It's mostly because I'm a Maryland fan. I probably should have picked they weren't even favorite for this game. Should have picked them to lose. But the favorite is South Carolina to win it all. Of course, they're still in it. And then of course, like the favorite player people like Caitlin Clark team, they still win it. It's cool. I love this time of year in March, man. Like, even with the conference final, in the conference tournaments, and now we're in the big tournament. It's so cool. And NIT even, that's cool. Like the people who get invited to the special tournament where they didn't make the big tournament, they got here. That's good to go in. It sucks that Maryland men's, they weren't even good enough to get an NIT because their sucky-ass record. It was a bad season. Like, this team should not have been that bad this year. You got anything to say about March Madness?
No. I'm keeping a watch on the bracket just to see. I don't expect to, you know, get even a good score. But I like to see when I chose, like, an upset and, you know, and actually pulled it out there.
You didn't just do like you didn't you know, you didn't have the computer to do random. That's what I was thinking. I was like, maybe you did random. No, and that's why South Carolina
the men's
there.
I had accidentally or the women's, I think. One of them I accidentally clicked like choose for me all the best teams. But then I went through and I was like, let me like pick here and there who I think, you know, might be an upset or something like that. So
yeah.
And then my second one, I was just like, let me be contrary into like my first picks.
So I mean, I did more than, a lot more brackets just because it's a contest overall. And I didn't do all 25, but I did some more from women's and men's. And those brackets, which I didn't really care about, they are better than my brackets that I actually have in the group. Like, I think one of them, first with the women's, I'm at 99.9%. I was like, oh damn. Wow. I think I was like, I didn't even pick. I mean, give credit to the computer for that one because I only probably changed a few things. Just probably maybe the final four. I don't think I changed much. But I know my boy Foot. Yeah, he was great, man. Like he only had like one wrong that weekend. And yeah, he's still like top. Him, I saw his name. Actually, I was in the lead for a bit. But my bracket, it sucked.
Yeah.
Because it was the Auburn bracket. I said, right. Oh, look, I'm number one now. But I was like, oh, but it's going to be dropping, you know, because Auburn's not going to be there. So it doesn't matter. Yeah, because they go by points. It was like, yeah, well, later on, my point's going to suck. So that's why I say I need UConn to lose. If UConn loses, I'm like, yes, I can. I'm definitely in it. I'm definitely in this if UConn loses. But, man, I don't know if they're going to lose. All right. Yeah, so that's it. NBA, I mean, I'll say this. The Wizards have been kicking butt.
Wow. Man.
Yeah, they have won two in a row again.
Ooh, there
they
you
are
go.
Now up. Now they're above Detroit now. They got more wins than Detroit. Detroit got 12 wins. Wizards got 13. I was like, yes, they were down, man. It was in last place. I was depressed. I was depressed, Daniel. And but now they come back, man. Like, the guys, like, now the starting five. Well, not all the starting fives. One guy's still hurt, but... Like, I remember one game, I saw him on the bench. I was like, oh, this is fake injuries off on the bench. This ain't, like, muscle strain and shit. That's like, I only see one guy with a cast. I said, that's the only guy that's injured. I said, everybody else is not injured. but, yeah. And then when they came back, yeah, they were on. They beat Sacramento, who is a good team, was supposed to be a good team. And then they beat Toronto, which is not a good team. So they took advantage of Toronto being hurt. So yeah, somebody said, hey, remember Toronto had like three guys out? I was like, yo, our team is like last place. I don't think that matters. like I don't think, yeah, I don't, at this point it don't freaking matter. Like, we suck. I just want to win some games. It's like, I just want to be in last place. But yeah. So NBA season, yeah, that's coming close to an end. It's only I don't know how many games are left. I want to say single digits at this point, but I'm not sure. But I know in the West, the teams that are the most popular teams, they're all in play-in games.
Mm.
Like, they're not even in that's what my brother said. The play-in games are going to be the most popular games than the damn, just the teams who are already in the playoffs. Because the Lakers, Golden State, I think even Phoenix is close. Like, Phoenix, their record-wise, they could be in a play-in game. I think they're in a playoffs now, but I think they're in the bottom of it. I forget what the standings, I forget what they are, but yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how these good teams are all down there. Popular teams, let's just say. Maybe they're not, they're not that good. But then I just have a feeling Lakers are going to go on another run from the play-in. Like, they're going to be like, oh, we're, they're in play-in, but then, they're going on a run because, you know, NBA has to get some money. And they get as much money as they can because basketball has not been really good in the ratings. All right. So, any wrestling news?
Nothing really worth talking about this week.
Oh, okay. Nothing from the whole Vince McMahon
kerfuffle? Nah, nothing. Nothing out of that either.
All right. So, I guess we get to what we've been watching. So, what you been watching, man?
So I've been watching a couple of things. I think I talked, I don't remember if it was on podcast or off podcast last week, about how I watched a good bit of Wonka at that point. I had finished that movie now. I thought it was enjoyable. I did not feel like it was a waste of my time watching that movie. I thought it was fun. I did not go into it thinking that it was a musical. It's it's not totally a musical, but there's definitely, you know, some songs in there that are performed. Yeah, overall, I think it was enjoyable, much better than the Johnny Depp movie. I absolutely hated that one when that came out. I thought that was definitely a waste of time. But this,
no, I just never watched it. I didn't know that was a... So people didn't like that movie, or is just you didn't like that movie?
I didn't like that movie. I don't remember what the general consensus was on that one. I think it was not great, but I'm not totally sure, to be honest with you. So, yeah. But yeah, I think everybody in this was enjoyable. They did a fine job, you know, with what they had, and it was fun. So, watch that. I also watched the first episode of X-Men 97. Feels, you know, just like that old cartoon. Looks slightly different than I remember the cartoon being. And I think part of that is nostalgia. But, like, it now reminds me of like Invincible, where it's like, oh, this looks all right, but it definitely feels like you're kind of cutting corners animation wise. And like the nostalgia in my head makes me think that cartoon back in the day was at least animated better, but I highly doubt that. But this kind of gives me like internet cartoon vibes.
Oh yeah, when I saw it, yeah, it definitely it feels that way. It feels like all cartoons almost like that.
It does. If it's not like something that's like purposefully anime nowadays, you know, it definitely feels like that. Yeah, I mean the episode itself seemed all right. You know, they're dealing with the mourning of losing Charles Xavier and Cyclops kind of fitting into the role of a new leader of the X-Men and finding a new mutant and bringing him into the school. So it was fine. I will probably I don't know. I might continue to watch it. There are so many other things now that I kind of have an interest in checking out.
Is this a weekly thing? Like, or all the episodes?
Yeah, I think it's a weekly thing. 'Cause I think the first two episodes are out now.
I'm gonna wait.
Yeah. But there's a new series on Netflix that I started. I haven't finished the first episode yet, but it's based on the book The Three Body Problem, which I've heard a lot of praise for over the years. I've never gotten around to reading or listening to it. So I'm checking that out.
What is this about?
It's basically a sci-fi kind of thing. I totally, honestly, I don't know. I've definitely listened to people talk about it, but it's
called The Three Body Problem.
Yeah, The Three Body Problem.
Is it like who's in it? Is it like American or British? What is it?
I don't know if there's anybody like of name that I can think of.
Oh no! I'm just saying like kind of show.
Oh,
It
kind of takes place all over the place. It's based on a work by I think a Chinese author. So there's some stuff that's taking place in the past in China during like their Cultural Revolution. And then,
you know what? There's a lot of Asian shows I've been seeing on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like a lot. Like when I go to new shows.
Oh, yeah. 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 There's definitely a lot of stuff, especially like after the success of Squid Games. There was a lot of like reality stuff coming out of there.
Oh, yeah. I did. But yeah, I've seen those. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that seems interesting so far from the first episode I've watched. And like I've said, the book has gotten a lot of praise. So it's something I'm interested in. That is fully up though. Like that, I think they just dropped that as a whole big chunk there. And then Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. I watched that. That's been my like morning workout show or movie. And it was fine. It was fun. I'll say that much. You know, I didn't have any problems with it. It's a little long, but it didn't feel like it because I broke it up, you know, over the course of like three mornings. So yeah, I did not have any problems with it whatsoever. I feel like I'm right there with kind of everybody else. I feel like for the most part, the general consensus on this movie was like, it's fine. I saw some people saying like, oh, it's awful. And then some people were saying like, oh, it's really good. But I'm right there in the middle. It was absolutely fine as far as an Indiana Jones movie goes in the year of 2024. I think they did an all right job with it. And it's definitely time to retire that. I'm not going to say they're going to retire the series. They're absolutely not going to do that. But it's time to do something different from Harrison Ford. And it feels like maybe they're ready to do that. I mean, you know, there was so much talk that Shia LaBeouf was going to kind of take over the series when they did Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And in this one, they have the woman from Fleabag. I can't remember her name, but I think she also did some writing on this one as well. And she's like Basil's daughter, so she's like Indy's goddaughter. And I think she would be fine. I just don't know why you would call it Indiana Jones if it's going to be focused around her, because it's you know, I don't know. So it was fine. I think you would probably enjoy it if you watched it, because you know you had higher feelings on Kingdom of the Crystal Skull than I did. So I think if you found enjoyment in that, then you would find enjoyment in this one as well.
So what did I so I finished The Gentleman from Netflix, that series, and that was that was good overall. I mean, I enjoyed it. The Guy Ritchie, like Guy Ritchie movies, always enjoyed, and it does have that Guy Ritchie feel with the series. I never seen the original movie, so I can't really compare it to that. But
do you feel like you're missing out on anything by not knowing?
No, because this is not connected to that.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
From what I hear, it's not really connected to that movie. I think it's his own original thing. And if it is, it looks like this. I mean, I thought I read it, but I don't know. I could be wrong. But if it is any connection, it doesn't feel like, because it doesn't feel like the way it goes, it's like his own story. So gotcha. I don't know. But it looks like it can go for another season the way it ended. But if it doesn't, if some reason they say, no, this is going to be it, I'm okay with that too. Like I'm okay with the ending. And I wouldn't say it was great or anything, but I'm okay with overall the show. I enjoyed.
Gotcha.
The lead actor, like I didn't really see him, nothing else. But I wonder, would this like jump him off to something? He has that look. He has a look of a guy, you know, of a guy who could be on the movie. But maybe that's what it is. Like, there's other people who look like him, but they could be better. The woman who's in here, stars in here, I really like her. She's pretty good. All right. What else have I seen? I do want to watch this series, The Warriors, which it was on HBO Max, and now on Netflix, seen it again. All the HBO Max shows.
I've heard good stuff about that. Yeah,
I heard. So I'm gonna watch that. It's about the Asian, like Chinese, almost Chinese, early American, like when they were immigrating, Chinese were immigrating to America, and it deals with it takes place in San Francisco, early San Francisco, and it's like a whole lot of martial arts stuff happening in this, and it seems pretty cool. I feel like I'm gonna check that out. I just watched the very, very beginning of the first episode, so yeah. I think I would definitely wanna see. Oh my god, I've seen the commercial for that piece of chicken right now. that's the first time I've ever seen it. That's crazy.
Jesus.
That's probably the next series I really check out. And yeah, I think that is. Oh no, that's not it. Because yes, the trailer for House of the Dragon season 2. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched. Yeah.
All right. So yeah, it looks good. It looks exciting.
It does. And, there's a lot of dragons in those trailers.
Yeah, exactly. I know there's going to be probably a third season the way they talk, and that
Oh, at least.
I just hope it don't drag. I don't want it to, because I'm like, I want to have an ending, like, where nothing can go wrong, where they don't, like, if something, like, something happens to a cast member, a writer, or,
yeah.
I mean, that's what I think. I think, like, yeah, the longer you have things going, things can happen. Or somebody, oh, no, somebody did something wrong, they're going to have to take him out or her out of the cast scene and something like that. Or,
yeah,
I'm like, oh, man, don't, yeah, I just don't want nothing. I just want to, hey, get it done with, have a nice story. And like, yeah, this is great. And then you move on to something else. but I feel like, yeah. And plus, I mean, I just see how what happened with Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Well, which, funnily enough, I didn't realize it. But like David Benioff and Wise and Benioff, the two guys that were working on Game of Thrones and everybody blamed for making it terrible, they're actually the ones behind Three Body Problem. So I'm cautious about this.
Oh, okay. But yeah. So, but the, yeah, the trailer, it looks great. I'm excited to see it. You got anything you want to say?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't glean much from the trailer outside of there seems to be more action going on in this season, because the first season was definitely kind of building towards the upcoming Civil War, basically, and I'm excited to see what they have to offer in this season.
All right, so now I guess we get to what we've been playing. So you can go through yours quickly.
Yeah. So I haven't really been playing much this week. I've been playing some stuff, kind of co-piloting with my daughter. The Bluey game is out now on Game Pass, and I never got around to actually buying it. I was going to, basically for Christmas. She had so much other stuff from Christmas. I was like, I can put this off and save this as like a ace in the hole, you know, and when something's really going wrong, break out the Bluey game. And then it ended up on Game Pass, and I was like, heck yeah, I don't have to pay for this, because I heard it's not very good. It turned out to be fine. It's very short. There's like four quote unquote episodes, which are the story bits of this game. And there's like five different settings: the house, the beach, the creek, the playground, and one other one. Oh, and the backyard. They count as like a different setting, even though it's, you can walk from the house out into the backyard. It is kind of exactly what I expected it to be. It looks mostly fine. It looks pretty representative of the cartoon, but there are times where, like, the characters are animating, especially the faces, and they're talking, and I don't know what technique they're using to make the kind of flat shaded characters look that way. I'm guessing it's texturing, and there's just like low resolution textures for the mouth movements that kind of break the illusion. Of course, it's a 3D environment that you're walking around in too, but for the most part, those things look all right. Some of the objects that you interact with are a little kind of sloppy. Like you have like a dress-up chest that you can go to and put different hats and whatnot on each of the characters, and those just look completely out of place because they don't even really try and make them look like they fit into the art design of it. It's just like, here's this 3D object on top of this flat shaded character. Movement is just, you walk around, you jump, you can bounce on some things. And it's kind of a collect-a-thon. It works perfectly fine for what she wants to do, which is kind of move around the house. It's kind of cool walking around Bluey's house in all three dimensions, and man, those people are absolutely loaded, because this house is like two levels. They have like seven different living room-esque areas and a playroom and, you know, the kids' bedroom, and yeah, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And based on the cartoon, they live at the top of a hill and overlook like beautiful Australia. What the hell did
those dogs do for a job?
So Bandit, the dad, is a geologist or an archaeologist, I believe, and his mom is like a TSA agent, basically, or whatever the Australian equivalent of that is. Yeah. You know, the joke is that, you know, Bandit digs up bones and she's like a drug sniffing dog, basically.
That's interesting.
I never really put it together until somebody had said that to me.
Yeah. yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so it's really just kind of a collect-a-thon thing. There are some things that don't work as smoothly as you would maybe want them to. My daughter still has problems moving around the world, but that's, you know, not the game's problem for the most part. I've definitely seen some glitchy stuff, you know, when this game first came out, but we didn't really experience too much of that. I did this morning. She was playing it and she got caught. They have a ground is lava, like mini game in it. And she got caught and it just like, she couldn't move until the game was over. But that's the worst that I've seen of that. So it's been fine. Also on Game Pass, there is a Paw Patrol game, and she has gotten into Paw Patrol as of recently. And that seems kind of all right, too. It's another kind of collect-a-thon, but this one's an open world, so you have all of, I forget what the place is called that they're in, but all of Adventure Bay or something like that, that it's called, to kind of explore. You can choose between any of the Paw Patrollers and their, you can get into their vehicles and out of their vehicles at any time. It's basically the Grand Theft Auto of Paw Patrol games, Dominic. So it's perfectly acceptable for a game for a child of her age. You know, it's not punishing in the way that like Lion King for the SNES was, or Aladdin for the Genesis. We need to bring those style backs, games back, you know, punish these kids.
Exactly.
Where's my Dark Souls of Bluey games?
How hard the world is. Like, yes, this is what it is. You need to play
exactly.
This. All right. So I've been playing. I've been playing Yakuza 5 still. I finished, like, the first part of the Kiryu, the main character's part. Now they're going to another character. I did a lot in his part. Like, mostly I did all those taxi missions, which are pretty funny. Like, they're not just driving to a location at the fast enough time and also following the rules, which a lot of times I don't follow the rules, but as long as I get to them more time, it seemed to be all right. They also have missions where you're talking to someone in the car, like, and you have to choose what to say, like what right things to say to them. Like, it's different scenarios. They're all fun. A lot of them are funny, man. They are pretty funny. I mean, I think it's a couple where it's like one guy, he was kidnapping this girl or something like that. And then you have to like help her. But it's crazy. And then it's like the racing one where you can soup up your cab before you can street race on the highway against against this racing gang and whatever. That was hilarious. Doing that, and the racing, they make it, at least it's easy, because I was like, man, that would be frustrating if I had to lose. Like, yeah, I ain't lose none of the races, and I was trying to cheat too, but none of the cheats were working. I think one cheat kept crashing every time I put on for like an infinite turbo. I was like, oh god, I'm gonna have to try. But luckily, man, the races, they were easy. I just figured out when to put the boost on and get there. So I was like, good, because I did not want to do this, because this driving is not great at all. Just having fun with that game. And I played some more Persona 4. I fought like the first big boss. So in this one, like I said, you can go on a TV. You can go on a TV, you go to this other world when you go through a TV. And it's like you go into the world and you also see like people's personalities or what they're thinking, what they're feeling, like a person who's been captured inside, like one girl was captured inside. You can see her innermost thoughts and things of that nature. And like, they're the negative thoughts of hers and things that, and then you fight that and then you save her. But what the mystery is I'm trying to find out is that who is throwing these people in these TVs? Because if after it rains, it gets fog, there's fog. And it seems like every time there's a fog, that's when somebody dies. The time limit is that, yeah, like you look at the forecast to make sure, hey, when is it going to rain? So I have to save this person before it stops raining, because if once it stops raining, like when it has to rain for a few days, and because once it stops raining, it gets foggy, and when it gets foggy, that's when somebody dies. So, we're trying to figure out who is putting these people in the TV, because two people have already died before this girl we saved, which is the girl is a friend of a friend. So now she's part of the group too, because she has her own persona. But yeah, so that's the mystery with that, and it's all right. But I can really see why the guy who I had talked to about Persona years ago, because he played the series and he said 5 was the best, and I was like, now I can see why he said that, because I definitely see the improvements of what they did with 5 compared to I saw him in 3 and in playing 4 is closer to 3 than 5, like so it feels like 5 is really a big step forward with them. And yeah, so I definitely see, like, yeah, this, they did a great job with 5, like that. And I'm saying, like, wow, like if I had played the series, like even from the start, I would have been like, yeah, I would have probably been saying, like, wow, 5 is incredible compared to these other games, like not just the look, but just the how it plays and everything. But story wise, it's all right. The Persona 4, it's okay story wise. It's all right. I can't really judge if I like it better than 3. Not yet, anyway. I have to play some more of it to see. I do like the little girl. I think she's cute. Like that you live with. She's your cousin because you stay with her. Her and her father. Her father's always out, but she kind of takes care of things and she's young. I like her. And I do like one of the girls because she's kind of like tomboyish, but I do like her. She's pretty funny. But yeah, so I've been playing that. I played some more Dead Island 2 with my friend and another dude. We played a bit until it got to a bug where we couldn't go any further, and that's kind of stopped us, man. We was on a roll, but goddamn glitches, man! I swear. but yeah, it was just a glitch where you had to pick up something. Oh, I also don't like about this game is that it will not allow you to play. Like, if your character is not played up to the chapter of the story you're trying to join, like if you're too far, if they feel like you're too far, they're too far ahead, you can't join them. So it sucks. It's like we weren't that far ahead. We didn't feel like we were that far ahead that he couldn't join. So then we had to go back. So we had to go to his game and do this mission, like some missions all over again, and seeing that's where it glitched on us instead of him just being able to join us. I just feel like, darn, just make it I don't, Borderlands let you do that. They just warn you. I think Borderlands just warn you and say, hey, enemies are gonna be a little tougher because these people are here. Do you still want to join? And that's what it should be. It just be that way. I don't know. Yeah, I don't like that way at all. Or give me a custom character. I don't care. Like, give me a custom character. It's not my character or something. If I could just join, because you just want to play with your friends. You don't want to.
Right.
Sometimes you just want to go back, and the other guy don't care. Like, the story ain't that big. You make a deal, so it's like, yeah, I don't really care. Also, MLB The Show has officially come out. MLB The Show 24 for everyone. So I played that as on Game Pass. I played a bit of that. Not much change, just some celebrations change. Now, I don't play Diamond Dynasty, so I cannot speak on that stuff, but I play Franchise. I didn't play Road to the Show, which is the version of my player for NBA 2K. I didn't play that mode this time. I just went straight to Franchise, played with the Orioles, and you got some of the graphic stuff look different, of course, like the menus look different. That's really the change. Everything else, it's pretty similar. They had a few tweaks here and there with the game. Like, I wouldn't say it's not totally copy and paste, but you know, it's pretty close. it's pretty close. Like I said, the celebrations are nice because they do have the Oreo celebration. Where the Oreo does this thing where when they get a double, well, in the game they do it any base. They do that celebration, but you know, and during the Oreo game it was only doing a double, but whatever. That's really all I saw. I didn't see any other celebrations yet. I didn't see all the animations, so I'm not sure yet. They still don't have it where you can just put your player from the previous game to this one like they used to do back on the PS 4 and PS3 and I don't know if they had it. They might have it on PlayStation 2 when it came later. MLB The Show came later. Like you can just transfer your play over. I think it's PlayStation 3 maybe it started, but whatever. Yeah, they still don't do that. They still can't. I mean, well, they probably say they can't do it, which we all call bullshit. It's like, well, why can't you? I mean, people do cloud save stuff all the time, and you can't do this. I say, and this game looks exactly like what you do in this game. You're like, this game ain't totally different. These games aren't much different. I say, whatever. Yeah. But that's what I think. I really think it's a budget with this game. Like, it feels like. And it's, I don't blame the developers. I mean, it's not, because I can't blame them. They don't make the budget. I blame Sony and whatever with this. Like, I think they really just hold it them. Now, some people would say, like, oh, the reason why they can't really go big on next gen is because they're still making last gen game. That could be partly true, but I've seen Madden do it. I mean, I've seen in the past people do this. They have a team that do the console. Madden used to have. There's a totally different team that probably did the older console game. And then they have the current, you know, the team that does newer console, they do the game. And they be different. Because I remember seeing, like, oh, the PlayStation 1 looks totally different from the PlayStation 2 one. Yeah. Or vice versa. PlayStation 2 one looks totally different from the, what was the next? PS3 and Xbox 360. I feel like they technically they can do that if they want to put the money to it. Or, I mean... I'm not saying because there's still a lot of those consoles, so I know you don't want to just say no. It's not going to be no games up there because there's a reason why they're putting them on the last gen consoles. They ain't going to put them on the last gen consoles if they're not making money. So I get it, but I feel like you can do that. Or you can make, or you can do this. Like, because it plays so horrible on the last gen console. Now, I didn't play this version, but I played last year's on the last gen console. That is just. It's just, oh my god, the frame rate is just horrible. It's like it's worse than what it was on a PS4. And yeah. I mean, like when it was originally just on a PS4, that it didn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that it plays that bad. Because I'm like, no, it shouldn't play that bad. This bad. This is, y'all not optimizing it. Yeah, y'all like, and I don't, like I said, I don't blame the developer. I blame it on the studio for not letting these guys. Put the work in. To least, if you're not going to make it graphically so much superior, but make it run good. Like, for both systems. Because I think even on the newer system, I mean, it runs better. But it can still be better than what it does. So, yeah. I'm just glad it's on Game Pass. All right, man. Are we going to take a quick break? When we get back, we get to the flashback segment.
All right.
And we're back. And then we're flashback into 2014. So we're going to do the rest of the games of March. So the next time we do a podcast, I'm just going to do covers, video game covers. So we're starting off with Luftwausers.
Yeah.
Came out 10 years ago for the Windows, Mac, Linux, PS3, and PS Vita. So what is this game, Dane?
So basically, it's kind of like a bullet hell flying around in a plane situation. I can't remember if it started as a phone game or ended up on the phones after it came out on all this stuff. But it was very simple. You shot out of a ship into the sky and then you were trying to basically dogfight. It was a 2D game. It was, you know, on a flat plane. And it just had a very unique art style to it. It was kind of reminiscent of almost like a Game Boy game, you know. It was very monochrome, and yeah, it's really, really neat little experience.
Okay, so what's the next game we got here? We got Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes. This is the prologue to Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain. That's Phantom Pain, right? That's what it's called. Yep. All right, so
the last Kojima one.
I vaguely remember playing this. So maybe you remember a lot more than I do. So what did you do in this game?
Basically, it was like an open military base, and you were trying to get through to, I think you were trying to save, I want to say a woman. You were trying to save a hostage, basically. So you're sneaking around doing your your tactical espionage thing, and just really it was about getting used to the kind of completely different controls since they had really revamped that entire system in that game, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I actually totally forgot this game came out. I forgot there was a prologue, honestly. Yeah, because this is a huge deal. It's like, oh yes, this is the, we're gonna see what it also looked like on the next gen, how good it looked. But then it was like it still came out last gen. Yeah. So I was like, so it was like, yeah, we were still that in between. All right. So what's the next game we got here? We got Infamous Second Son came out for the PS4. This was the first and last told the Infamous game, really. Yeah. If you don't count the DLC to it. But yeah, man. So how was this, man?
I thought it was really cool. I was a huge fan of the Infamous series. This one takes it in a slightly different direction. In those first two games, you played as Cole, and in this one, you play as, I can't remember the character's name. But it was basically like you were in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle area.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Seattle. I think the Space Needle's in there, or the equivalent of the Space Needle.
What they call those people, Daniel? Not hippies. But
hipsters,
what they hipsters, hipsters.
The guy's got a beanie on the cover, you know, he's and like a jean vest with patches all over it. He's definitely got kind of punk rock hipster vibes to him. I think this is the first game for the PS4 that definitely kind of showed off the power of that hardware and was definitely the biggest thing. Cause you know, it's kind of amazing that they weren't able to push this up a couple of weeks to get it out alongside the console. I guess they figured that risk wasn't worth it. Cause both those consoles really shipped with, that's true. they didn't want Knack to overshadow this game. I had a lot of fun with it. I never ended up spending too much time with the DLC. I think it was First Light or something like that. But I did like the characters that were in this game, you know. And it was a different spin on Infamous, definitely, than those first two games. But yeah, still cool.
That's a game. Yeah, you know what? I want to play. I just remember it exists.
Yeah.
It exists, man. So yeah, I do. It was just timing and everything, basically. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but the thing is, Infamous 2, I never did finish that. I liked it. Yeah. Always got to a point because I want to take a break because it was kind of long. Always got to the part when you finally get to like the bayou part of the place with the swamp with the black woman. Voodoo lady or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I got to that part and I stopped and I just never went back. I want to still finish that game. Ah, man. Let's get this good time machine at least to go back and say, hey, let's just finish it all. Finish that game off, dang, like Dominic. All right, so what else we got here? We got Escape Goat 2. Okay, you got to tell me. I ain't never heard of this. This came on the Windows, Mac, and Linux.
Yeah, so Escape Goat and Escape Goat 2 are basically like puzzle games. I think they were either made or published by Double Fine. 2D games, you're playing as a goat, and you're basically trying to, I think they're like one screen levels, each of them. And then you're basically trying to get to the exit. It's really clever. It's a game that I always looked at and thought was really cool and wanted to get around to playing, but never did.
I'm surprised you didn't highlight this game here, Daniel. The next game here, we got Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls.
I thought that was DLC. That's why I didn't highlight that one. Oh. Is that just Diablo 3?
No. I mean, it is, but it's still a big deal. I think people still liked it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The Reaper of Souls. Oh, it's a Reaper of Souls novel? Oh, goddamn. I got 87. They say that, this is the DLC to Diablo. I don't know if I played this, honestly. I beat the original Diablo, but I don't know if I played any of the DLC from the Reaper of Souls. I'm hoping that Microsoft will just, you know, put all those freaking games out, but I don't know what the fuck they're doing, this piecemeal thing.
Yeah.
But whatever. Diablo 3 Reaper Souls, they say they got favorable reviews. They got an 87 Metacritic. IGN gave it a 9.1. Polygon gave it a 9.5. The expansion was lauded by many critics as a large improvement on most fronts from Diablo 3 and considered the changes made in it as responsible for the reinvigorated player interest in the franchise, giving the game greater replayability and long-term appeal. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, this is one, yeah. Because, yeah, it was a little mixed feelings with Diablo 3. Almost like how Diablo 4 is. Maybe they'll have, like, a Reaper of Souls 2 for Diablo 4. That will
it's help funny that you say that, because I feel like I did hear this week that they just had a huge update kind of to coincide with the launch of it on Game Pass that is pretty fundamentally changed some of the systems in that game, and it sounds like for the better. So we might be seeing that right now, Dominic.
Yeah. All right. So where else we got here? We got Mercenary Kings came out for the Windows. It's a shoot 'em up. What is this game, Daniel?
Mercenary Kings is basically like, it reminds me of Contra. It's a game that I feel like we first saw at PAX when the year that we went. It's made by what is their name? And I forget what other game they made.
Tribute Games?
Yeah, Tribute Games. And they had previously, they're actually the ones that did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles recently. But what did they do before here? My screen is just being
Flint
crap.
Hook or something?
Later. They also did Flint Hook, but that came later.
That came out after that game.
Yeah. I think we both saw them. Wizorb, I think, is one. Maybe I just correlate them with somebody else.
Because I don't know. I never heard of that game. Never heard of these games.
But basically, it's a side-scrolling thing. It always reminds me of Scott Pilgrim, the Pilgrim beat-em-up game. It has an art style very reminiscent of that.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I see that.
Pixel art with, like, kind of big, blocky characters.
Yeah, they worked on it. It says they worked on it. I don't know why they have it. Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe because they weren't called Tribute. I mean, that's why they didn't have the name up there.
But, yeah, and it's basically kind of a shooter, a run-and-gun style 2D game in the vein of like a Contra, and it was a really cool game. I thought it was neat.
All right, so that is it for 2014. So now we go back 20 years, and I guess you didn't like anything on here.
I think I just did not get that far. Far Cry, Dominic. I think we can talk about that.
Far Cry. Well, you played this more than I did. I played it briefly. I don't think I beat first Far Cry. I didn't beat it. I get that confused with. I get Far Cry confused with Crysis. Mm. Honestly.
Far Cry was basically Crysis on an island.
Yeah,
that's what I think. Came out first, right? We already talked about Crysis.
I don't remember.
I think it did because they were also on the Crytek engine.
This is 2004, right? So it's got to come out after, right?
Yeah.
I know it's on Crytek, but
Crysis 1. Let's see. Crysis came out. No, that's Warhead. 2007 is when Crysis came out. Okay, so I guess Far Cry did come out before that. It was just it looked spectacular. That was kind of the biggest thing about Far Cry. 3 is when they really changed the series to become what it is now. But in this, it was basically you're a big brawny dude in a Hawaiian shirt and you're on this island. And then all of a sudden there are like weird science experiment creatures running at you and you got to gun them down. It reminded me a lot of like Lost, I think, was going on at this time. Right. So it was kind of like, oh, maybe this is what's going on that show, because I never really watched it.
You know what? That's why people did tie this to with Lost, like kind of story.
So, yeah, it was a really cool game. I think later in the series is when it really, even 2, where it's like hugely systems driven and you have fire that catches the whole world on fire and stuff like that, where it kind of stepped into its own. And then with 3, I think that was just so kind of spectacular that, it outshines its origins, basically.
Yeah, this is one of those games I used to see in Game Informer that, like, it's something that I would never ever touch unless it came on consoles.
Yeah.
Because I would see it as like, oh, wow, this looks like a really good PC game. Like, my PC can not, I am nowhere near powerful enough to play a game like that. But yeah, man, I always was like jealous seeing those screenshots of the game. All right, so next we got Final Fantasy XI came on PS2. So it finally came on PS2. I remember always like saying, yes, finally. But then I saw like, oh, you got to pay a monthly subscription. I was like, oh, no, then never mind. And I never, ever played it in my life. So, I mean, you did get like a few, maybe like a few months free or something, I think. You started out initially. But first of all, I didn't have a PS2 network adapter. And then I didn't want to play monthly free. And then you had to have broadband. I didn't have broadband. At this time, I did not have broadband internet. So
same.
Yeah, so I wasn't even thinking about this. So like, I just saw, like, oh, there's a Final Fantasy XI RPG. I was kind of a little mad I couldn't play it, but then I was like, whatever. And then just went through. But yeah, this was huge, man. This was like Final Fantasy first foray into online. I mean, it was a good test for them because they tested out on PC for, I don't know how long it's been on PC before it came on PS2. I don't know, it's been like maybe over a year. I don't know. So now they got on PS2. I don't know how the initial launch was for it, but the PS2 version did have like, I think graphically, because I don't think you could connect. Yeah, you could connect with the, I think the PC guys.
I don't think there was cross play.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it was like that. Yeah, it was just, you were separate. But yeah, but Final Fantasy XI, it continued on. Till it did get later released on the Xbox 360. Which is weird. It got released on Xbox 360, but it didn't come on PS3. That's weird. Because I guess 360 was the big, that was the bigger platform at the time. But yeah. or they maybe Microsoft might have bought them. Maybe they paid them. Maybe they did what
somebody got to, Dominic. It's the only way they make games.
Maybe PlayStation now is saying we're getting revenge for when you took 11 away from us. We're gonna take all these other Final Fantasy away from you and this current generation, Daniel.
Yep.
That's what they did. But yeah, I just wasn't really into it. I mean, like I said, I couldn't play it. But then when I grew older, I realized what online RPGs were. I was like, well, if I had a lot of some friends, who were really into this, and we played together, I think I would like it. But my friends were never into RPGs. I was the only one who was always into RPGs. So I just never had that, got that attachment to any of those type of games.
Yeah.
Well, what about you? Got anything you got to say about this game? Did you ever play this game?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Nah. So what else we got here? We got Tom Clancy, Splinter Cell, Pandora's Tomorrow was released.
I was too busy playing this game.
The GameCube, PS2, and Xbox. So everybody got it. It wasn't just exclusive to Xbox.
Nope. Not anymore.
So yeah. So did you get this on the GameCube?
Or no, you got it on PC? I got it on the PC.
Your PC can play this game?
Probably. I was gonna say, which probably struggled just as much as GameCube would have, but I remember looking at like the comparisons and everything, and it's like, well, the lighting doesn't work in the GameCube version. So I was like, I'll just deal with it running really poorly until eventually I got a PC that could properly handle it at least a little better. I remember liking this, maybe not as much as the first one, but still being super into it coming off of that first one and being like super hyped about the series. I forget what kind of the downsides of this one were, but yeah, still a series that I, had more fondness for than like Metal Gear, just because it was really about the tech of it, the being able to shoot out the lights. It made the dealing with the stealth and waiting parts of it a little more fun for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. There you go. I was looking at something. I didn't realize you were done. All right. You still there, right?
Yep. I'm still
there. Okay. All right. Oh, you should have went longer, Daniel. Should have kept talking. All right. all right. So the next game we got here is Resident Evil Outbreak for the PlayStation 2. Yeah. This is Resident Evil's first time going online, and they had four player co-op, and you had to work together to get out these zombie infested areas. I remember reading about it like beforehand. I thought, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I see how it turns out. I mean, it sounds like a cool idea. But I don't think it came out to be as good as to say, but you know what? It didn't get horrible reviews overall. Like, I got 71 on Metacritic. I think Eurogamer is the only one who gave it, they gave it a super low score, 5 out of 10, or probably Edge too. Cause I don't see Edge's, score on this, Wikipedia page, but I'm sure you know how their standards are. They probably gave it a low score. But I see GamesRadar had gave it a 9. GameZone gave it an 8.3. Oh, wow. GameSpot 3. GamePro gave it a 4.5 stars. I don't have Game Informer up here either. I know Game Informer was not a high score because that's the only one that magazine I read. I do remember that. But yeah, like I said, the premise. Not the premise of the story, but like just the idea of you working together. To survive like the zombie apocalypse thing. It sounded pretty cool. And like, this is still the early days. That's before console people are playing online. And, but I heard single player is horrible. I heard this game is not, worth playing single player. That's what I read. But, I don't know anybody who's ever played this game. Cause like I said, I didn't know anybody who had a network adapter for the PS2. Actually, my sister's boyfriend did have a network adapter, but all he played was Madden. Online, because I remember him telling me, "said man, say you need to get online, man, to play online." And I was like, "Man, I don't have anything to be fast enough." I mean, I say I do. Well, you could do dial up too on PS2, but I was like, I didn't really think about playing. Like, I didn't really care. I didn't really care about playing online then, especially not no video game, not no sports games because I wasn't good at them. That's why I always had them on easy or rookie, whatever the hell it was. All right. What else we got here? Oh, yes. 20 years ago, Dragon Quest V, Tanoko no Hanayome. I probably butchered that name. But this is basically Dragon Quest V remake. It was only released in Japan. This was the remake of probably, at the time, definitely the best Dragon Quest game. I think some people still consider it this to be the best Dragon Quest game, Dragon Quest V. And they did a remake from the, was it on Nintendo or Super Nintendo? I forget. But it was pixelated top down, the original one. And then they did a whole remake where it was like totally 3D, polygonal, basically. So now, and it looked good for the time. And this is pretty a big deal. I mean, this is like the favorite series of Japan, RPG of Japan. It's like the biggest RPG in Japan. And for it to do like a remake and really put that much work into it was cool. In America, we didn't really get Dragon Quest games until 7 came out. That's when America started getting Dragon Quest games again. Like, we got the first game, then they took a long ass break until 7 came out. So I didn't even know this existed one time I was looking up Dragon Quest V when I was. Had it for the Game Boy Advance version or 3DS version. I forget which it is, or DS version. And I saw that. Oh, I said, wow, they had a full 3D one. I said, goodness gracious. So that is pretty cool that they did that a whole remake. And yeah, they probably felt like what people feel like with Final Fantasy VII remake. People feel probably like this is incredible. They made one of the best games in the series.
Finally, yeah.
all right. It wasn't as big as long as Gap as, you know, Final Fantasy VII Remake. Right. All right. So, that's what we got here. We're going back. Okay, now we're going back 30 years. 30 years. We got. I'll start from the bottom going up. Streets of Rage 3 came out for the Genesis. I played this one. Don't get me started. Now, I don't remember. My friends probably remember more of each particular Streets of Rage, I couldn't tell you, like, from each one. I know I played all three of them. So, and I enjoyed all three of them. Like, they're just, it's a beat-em-up game. I used to like this better than Double Dragon. Like, I say Streets of Rage is better than Double Dragon. I mean, it was, I don't know. It was just something about Streets of Rage that it just felt better. Like, I did not, I mean, I played Double Dragon on Nintendo, and was there Double Dragon for the Super Nintendo? I think I played that one.
I think so.
Was. Yeah. But now, Streets of Rage on Genesis, I just felt faster, and it just, yeah, it just felt a whole lot better. And it was I don't know what to say it was easier. I can't, because I didn't play Double Dragon that long to say that. But yeah, I used to like the whole series, Streets of Rage. Like the music, man, just the way, you know, look at the game. You look very 90s look, you know, current urban area and things of that nature. It's just awesome. And especially to play with a friend. Another game came out. Castlevania Bloodlines came out for the Genesis. And was this the only Genesis Castlevania, Daniel?
It's the only one that immediately came up when I was searching for it.
Okay, so yes. So this is probably the first and only Castlevania game of Genesis. And it was actually rated pretty good. Because I honestly did not hear about this game till a lot later. Maybe it was like a few years ago, maybe. In like the 2010s, I think. I heard about this game. I didn't know there was a Castlevania game on Genesis. Because all I knew was like, oh, they came on the Nintendo system, Super Nintendo, and then the PlayStation Symphony of the Nights, like, and, you know, the Game Boy Advances. I did not know. I was thinking like, oh, they skipped the Genesis, but apparently they have one, and it got rated okay. I mean, it got rated in the 80s. People generally liked it. But yeah, have you ever played this game?
No, I don't think so.
Not even on emulator? Yeah, so... No. But yeah, so this is one of those Castlevanias that's kind of... I mean, it's like... you say you hear people mention it, like, when they talk about, like, older Castlevania games, but...
Yeah.
It's just not... It was just, like, on the most popular... I mean Genesis is popular.
Mostly because it was kind of, like, lost for so long, and then with these recent collections, I think they finally put, like, a decent version for people to play out. And people,
yeah, because I don't think I've even heard... Because I didn't really hear people really talk about a whole lot in like years ago when they had some Castlevania games, I didn't hear nothing about Bloodlines or anything. Yeah. But, I mean, that's cool. That's cool that it happened. All right, so where are we at here, Daniel? And last, and definitely not least, Super Metroid.
Yeah.
For the Super Nintendo came out 30 years ago. Incredible, so, Dan, you can go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to this podcast for long enough, you've heard me gush about Super Metroid over and over again.
First time I ever heard you mention that, Daniel. First time.
But I'll take this opportunity one last time to gush over it again. Yeah, it is probably my favorite game, if not one of my favorite games ever. It is a game that part of it is nostalgia. I grew up playing it over a friend's house, and really that's where I learned about the game, because like, if I think back to playing this game, if I just like went in without having any clue, it's very easy to get lost. This is a game from the Super Nintendo where they did not really give two fucks about leading you to where you needed to go. It does that a little bit, you know, it kind of blocks your path in certain directions, but it definitely doesn't hold your hand in the way that a lot of the games in newer games in the series do, which I do appreciate. Part of me would have loved to like wipe my mind and just sit me down in front of Super Metroid nowadays and see if I just like bounce off of it, because it's kind of difficult to maneuver. But graphically, it still holds up, in my opinion. It's one of those games that I see every once in a while people talk about, like, oh, a remake or a remaster or something like that. And it's kind of like, I don't need that. Those games from that generation hold up so much better than games from more recent consoles, like PlayStation 1 and even 2 to an extent, because... you can still release games that look the way Super Metroid does, or even a lot of Super Nintendo games do, and not get, you know, shit talked about how you didn't put much effort in. The feeling that that game gives you of being on this like desolate planet all by yourself, just conveyed through 2D sprites, is really incredible. And just the increased level of power that you feel throughout that game as you gain more and more upgrades is just such an awesome feeling. That game is a masterpiece.
All right. So we're going to end on that for the flashback segment. So we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we get to the gaming news.
All right.
And we're back. So let's get to the gaming news. What we got, Dan?
All right, Dominic, your favorite company, DeNovo, is back at it again. Now they're trying to sell companies their new Tracemark software, which basically embeds visible and invisible watermarks into your production so that, you know, if somebody leaks out something, they can catch you. Why can't they just let us have nice things, Dominic?
To stop these leaks? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, go ahead, man. DeNovo, yeah, they protect the people's property, man. So there they go. Good for them. I mean, I don't have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Well, something like that, that's not a issue. They like, yeah, people to protect their leaks from the company. I mean, that's, I mean, leaks are like cool, but you know, they're wrong. I gotta say they're wrong though, you know? So
how dare you? How dare you say that in our business?
No, but I mean, the hackers gotta work harder. I mean, you're supposed to protect yourself, so the hackers just gotta work harder to get it.
My thing is like, can they just fix the one product that they were focused on and get that actually working so it isn't a detriment to the consumer's, you know, PC?
Oh yeah, I mean, I would hope so, but it seems like that's up to the publishers. I mean, because they don't have to buy them.
That's true. That is true. I that's really the thing, right? Is we should be pushing back on these publishers that are buying DeNovo and paying them to put this shit in their games instead of, you know, the business that's making the software.
I just don't think that, like, because look, there hasn't been a lot of, I mean, so far, I think as far as DeNovo stopping these games from being pirated, they have done a good job. I mean, the only time they get pirated is when they lift it, finally get lifted. But thing is, I just don't believe that it's worth that. I don't think you're losing that many sales. I don't think you're losing so many sales that'd be significant. Because we still see games who have DeNovo and just they don't sell well.
I do wonder. I want to see the statistics. I mean, I would imagine those companies I guess you can't prove something that doesn't happen, right? So they don't really have statistics on what they would have sold, you know. So it's hard to make that comparison because you would think, you know, they have some sort of stats, so they would, if they're still buying it, it seems like it makes sense to them. But yeah, you can't really prove a thing that can't happen. So yeah, it's hard to really have those statistics.
I mean, it was a point where I look at Grand Theft Auto. People were still in that game. 3 and 5 still in that game. That game is still selling.
Yeah.
When it came on PC eventually, and Wishmacard has no DRM. CD Projekt Red.
Yeah.
Witcher 3 sold. Witcher 2 sold. Cyberpunk. Initially sold. Cyberpunk did sell. Even though, you know, it just had a bad launch though.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the whole thing, PlayStation had took it off the their store, but it's I don't know. I never heard about sales being horrible for Cyberpunk. Really,
I think it still sells pretty well. You know, now that they've fixed it basically, and
it's DRM free. I mean, if you want to steal that game, you can go get it. So I just don't think this stuff is I just don't believe like play like this. I don't know. I'm not saying you don't protect your game. Like you say, oh, just don't protect it at all. No, I'm just saying you need to find a better way where it doesn't affect the people who did buy the game, that it makes that it causes problems. It should it honestly should not cause any problem. I don't care if some people say, well, it causes this, but it's not significant. That thing should not cause anything. It shouldn't affect the game at all.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I'm right there with you. If it's hurting the paying customer, you know, especially in the instances where you can get a hacked version of it, it's like the people that are going through these loopholes and whatnot to get this game are getting a better experience than the people that are playing it. That's just unacceptable.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, Dominic, following up on a story, I can't remember if it was last week or like 2 weeks ago now, but Toys for Bob had split from Microsoft following the Activision acquisition. But apparently that has not ruined their relationship, because it sounds like from reports that Toys for Bob are actually getting funding from Microsoft for their next project. So it's good to see that there's still a relationship there. There's a lot of speculation that, you know, they will be working on a Spyro game. Nothing is confirmed, of course, but I think that's only a win-win if Toys for Bob got the separation that they needed or wanted, and they're also still able to get some of that funding from Microsoft, who they, you know, would have been under anyway, especially if the potential was for them to be shut down or closed or whatever, if they had stuck around, basically. So I think this is only positive for everybody involved. So I look forward to seeing what Toys for Bob has to make, you know?
Yeah, I'm curious too what they do. What's the next game they'll be working on? Conkers. They're going to be Conkers now. Bad for them.
I wish they would, if they do a Spyro thing, I would like to see them, you know, work on either like a Banjo or a Conker or something, a property that Microsoft has had and hasn't really done much with. In some other news, Dominic Val's family sharing plan is getting a bit of an upgrade. They're finally going to be allowing people who are sharing their libraries to play multiple games at the same time, as long as that game is not the same game. And that has definitely been a pressure point for us in the past, where, you know, we typically share libraries on the different consoles. I think the Xbox probably has the most robust system, right? Where,
yeah,
you know, you can even play the same game sometimes, which was nice if we were playing something online together. Whereas, you know, Nintendo's is a little more buttoned down. You got to log into the other person's actual account, and you risk, you know, messing up people's saves and stuff. And then, of course, Steam was kind of on the low end, because if you were playing a game on my library, I couldn't play something out of my library, and vice versa. It's nice to see them kind of moving more in the direction of opening this up. Hopefully Nintendo also follows suit. I have my doubts, but we'll see. So yeah, that's nice. There's also, in addition to this, there's also some like child account stuff that they're rolling into this system now, that was kind of its own thing. So they're kind of consolidating stuff and making it a little more user friendly, which is nice, especially as my daughter gets older and maybe gets more into games. It's nice to be able to actually you're not going to be playing Doom or Mortal Kombat at the age of 5, but here's the collection of other games that you can have access to. All right. Speaking of game stores, Dominic, Epic has announced that they are getting into the mobile space. They're going to be launching Epic Game Store on mobile, iOS and Android, at some point this year. They are going to continue having the lowest kind of revenue split, with only taking 12% from developers who publish on their platform. That's different from Apple and Google, who are currently still at 15%. So you can make a little bit extra cash there.
So Epic Store is back on Apple. You're just saying that they're
Fortnite
different from Apple. Okay.
Different from Apple, but they will be at their Epic Store will be available on iOS. I think that's part of kind of the lawsuits and the EU regulation stuff that has come out.
So Fortnite is coming back to Apple, right?
Effectively, I don't think it's coming back to the Apple Store, but you'll be able to get it through the Epic Games launcher, is my understanding of it.
All right.
So that's good. I mean, it's positive for developers. It gives them a different option with a higher payout. And, you know, if it's anything like I remember early on in the Android days, Amazon had their own marketplace and still might. But, you know, they were doing kind of the same thing as Epic Game Store does on PC, where they would just give you a whole bunch of free, you know, relatively top tier games. That's how I played like Hitman Go and stuff like that without ending up purchasing it. And that was pretty nice. So if Epic wants to move into the space, I download an app and all of a sudden I get all these free games that I'll still probably never launch, but, you know, give the opportunity to play for free. I'm all for that. And it's also just nice seeing someone give, you know, a higher revenue split, because like I always fiddle with the idea of like, could I make a game? And then obviously like a phone game seems like it'd be easier to develop. You expect smaller games on a phone, so like it's like, yeah, if I could make more money there, then heck yeah. All right, Dominic, I think that came out of the same like Unreal stuff presentation. There was a Marvel's 1943 Rise of Hydra trailer. This is the Captain America Black Panther game that we had seen previously announced from Skydance New Media. And it is, what is her name over there, Dominic, the former director of
Hemmings.
Uncharted.
Hemmings?
Yeah, Amy Hennig. Amy Henning.
Okay. Yeah. I was like Hemingway.
yes, Amy Henningway. The old man in the sea or whatever. So there's a trailer for this. It's just CG trailer, no actual gameplay. I believe we're under the impression that it's going to be a third person action game where you can kind of take different roles at some point in the game. I don't know if it's like an active switching thing or if it's going to be a storyline driven thing. But it seems pretty cool. I think the models in this are greatly improved over Marvel's Avengers. They don't quite look the same, like just something's not right about them where it's like, oh, hey, this is a knockoff of the movie. Like, obviously, it definitely takes some inspiration from that. But I think they're better designed. What did you think about this trailer?
I mean, the trailer, it looks great. I just want to know what the game looks like. But the trailer, I mean, it seems great. I mean, the whole premise of story definitely is interesting. Like, I definitely want to see more of this.
Yeah. All right. And next up, speaking of Marvel games, this actually, I think, came out a couple of weeks ago, and I heard about it on a podcast and never wrote it down. And I didn't really see many websites like reporting on it whenever I was checking the news. So it kind of slipped my mind. But there was a trailer that came out, kind of leaked out a couple of weeks ago for the Spider-Man The Great Web game. This is the Insomniac Games. I think it was kind of going to be like an expand-alone thing. I think it was originally intended to release this year. Using Spider-Man 2 was the base, and it was going to dump you in with a whole bunch of other people, and you could play as Spider-Man and Spider-Man Miles Morales and Spider-Man 2099, Scarlet Spider, Spider-Gwen. Looked like Silk was in there at one moment as well. And this is like
Spider Pig, though, Daniel.
No Spider Pig, unfortunately. But this was like fully produced. It looked like they were basically ready to, you know, throw this out when I guess I don't know. It seemed like it got canceled before the leaks came out, but I wonder how much of that also had to do with this. Really, it makes me wonder if some of the apprehension to release this would be related to like Gotham Knights. It did give me a similar feeling to that.
It definitely did.
Yeah. And maybe that and the feelings towards Suicide Squad maybe made them a little more apprehensive about releasing this game. For me, it's really about what it ended up being. If it was a live service game, then no, thank you. I don't want that. If it was just basically more missions and kind of an expand alone on Spider-Man 2 and just dropping in and being able to play with your friends, I think that's really cool. But at the end of the day, that is kind of what Gotham Knights was. Gotham Knights wasn't really a live servicey game. It was just a kind of a single player matched with a multiplayer game. So I wonder if that's what kind of made them decide that wasn't the route to go. Cause it does seem like they put a significant amount of work into this. If they were at the point where they were, you know, putting together promotional trailers. So yeah, I wonder what could have been, but at the same time, if there is potential for it to have ended up like either of those games, then yeah, like maybe spend your time on something else, please. All right, Dominic, I'm going to take a drink of water real quick. All right, and then the last story I've got here, Dominic. Allegedly, Sony has paused production on the PlayStation VR 2, and this just feels like a no-surprise thing here, because the reality is, what's the last game we heard about coming to the PlayStation VR 2? They're making no attempt to push that.
The biggest game is Resident Evil, right?
Yeah, I would say so. And it's really unfortunate that it's kind of trapped on that platform as far as
the VR version. I mean, that was the biggest game for the last one.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it sounds like maybe they... I don't know. Some of the reporting was basically the hardware division was pushing this on the PlayStation division, saying like, hey, you know, that PSVR 1 sold pretty well for us. Eventually take this on, put this out. But if that was the case and the PlayStation division did not have the games or want to make the games to make that happen and successful, that seems like where we are. And with the, you know, inability to make it backwards compatible and the seeming undesire for PlayStation to want it to succeed, like, we don't even see, there was a lot of speculation that, you know, Sony would get Half-Life Alyx as an exclusive. I mean, there's no really other competing console VR at this point.
The Nintendo had that little
the Labo thing. Yeah. What am I saying? At this point, I almost believe that they would bring that to the Labo before they would bring it to PlayStation. But that's the thing, is like, if they wanted to, they could have made a deal with Valve. Like, I believe there is a world where Valve would absolutely be willing to, you know, take bags full of cash to port Half-Life Alyx to that platform, and that just never happened. So they really haven't added any sort of like killer app outside of, like you said, Resident Evil. So I don't know that they ever expected us to succeed. And if production was relatively high early on because of the sales of the first PlayStation VR, this feels like it's coming as no surprise, right?
Yeah. It's a shame. It just, it never made sense that it wasn't backwards compatible. It's never made sense to me that they couldn't. And then how people try to justify that. Like, oh, this technology is so different. It's like, yeah, okay, but you mean you can't? I don't know.
What's going on the PC side of things? There's been multiple different headsets at varying degrees of, like, you know, quality. You know, we're talking about, like, remember when they had Windows mixed reality headsets that, like, barely had, you know, hand tracking in their controllers and stuff like that? Like, you've got people that have played games on that and all the way up to, like, the Valve Index Pro and all that stuff. So, like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, that's why I don't understand. So, like, yes, the technology is... Yeah, I feel like it's better, but it should be able to play games that, like, if those games are worse, it should be able to play them. I just feel like you should have made it you should have made it a way that it could be played, because that doesn't make any sense that you have a library of games that these people have bought and invested in, and then at least even people newcomers, they have that library to go to. Mm-hmm. Now you got to start a whole new library. Like, you're starting from scratch again.
Exactly. Like,
you're literally starting from scratch again.
On an already very niche style, system.
It just didn't make sense. Like, I don't understand what was the thinking behind this. Like, what was the expectations? No. That's what I really want to know. What was your expectations for this? Or... Maybe they already started, and maybe COVID just really changed things. Maybe they thought, like, hey.
That could be, yeah.
Maybe there was a thing like, hey, VR is going to grow, whatever, and something, and move forward. Which it kind of did grow because of COVID. Yeah,
absolutely.
But it just doesn't make sense that you would make another VR headset for this console and not have those games come over. Yeah. Doesn't it make any sense?
No, you already have a very small audience to, like, basically alienate them by, you know, making their library even smaller. Just it really didn't. That's why, like, when that was first announced, I pushed back on it so hard, because, like, I've heard people talk about it, you know, people who have worked in VR development and stuff, and I understand that there are definitely challenges to it, but it feels like challenges that you have to resolve to be able to do that, because it really makes no sense at all to lock you into this thing that not only do you have to have this headset for, but you also have to have a PlayStation 5 for, and then you're basically starting me out fresh when maybe I was an early adopter and I invested in your PSVR 1, you know, platform, and now you're just like, nope, sorry, you gotta pay again if you want to play this. It's like,
that's just awful. And
or hope that the developers are willing to make a PS5 version that you'll maybe give me a discount on or something like that.
I'm just saying, like, for the money, like, people can seem, hey, this stuff is worth it. And you know what? You're right. Maybe it is worth that money. It's probably even worth more. Then you gotta have a budget you gotta have expectations that, well, this ain't for everybody.
Right.
This is for these certain people who can afford this, and, like, some hardcore people who can afford this thing. Like, this is just for them. And you don't put out a lot of games. I mean, you put out some games because you got to put out for those guys, but you have your expectations, like, your budget is set to that or something, man, because it's not for the mass market. It's not something for the mass market. I mean, that's what you're basically saying. Like, because people are saying, like, hey, this technology is out there. Say, well, either we're too far ahead. I mean, of course, the economy just messes it up. I mean, maybe, yeah, we should be there, but the economy is just so fucked up that people can't afford to be getting something like that. So,
yeah.
Either you get into the space and get all in, or don't. Or just don't. Maybe you just say, hey, maybe we got the money for this.
Which is just wild to me. Like, I'm sorry, but the console market is the mass market. If you don't plan on putting out a mass market product, don't make it a console thing.
That's all I was about to say. I was like, yeah, don't. That's not for it. Then you should have made it a separate product. It should have been a separate product, like PSVR. You don't need the console. But maybe, I mean, even if you have it attached to a PC, at least you got those guys. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. Yeah, I just think they're thinking, I mean, I know what they're thinking, but I just think, yeah, that's not it. Like, if you're going to put a headset like that, it can't be filed. It can't be the same price as the console. Maybe it can't. Yeah, even though people say, hey, how powerful it is, maybe it didn't have to be that powerful. I mean, it don't have to be. Honestly, because the way we looked at, look at the Meta Quest 2 and 3, they're not as powerful as a PS4 PSVR headset, but people who do have those, they can they have those, and then
those are
they
more still of enjoy a mass games. Market product. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, right now the Quest 2 seems like almost like a killer deal, because it's like, I think $199, but you can get it some places with like a $50 gift card. So it's like $150 for one of those things.
Yeah. And for the games that's up there, they're fun. They're fun to do. They're fun to play.
So. That's rough. I just don't know. You know, if you've got like two divisions in your company that are kind of like deciding completely different directions for your business to go, then it does. It continues to scare me about any like additional side product for a PlayStation device, because it's like it's a big crapshoot as to whether, oh, this is a thing that PlayStation actually wanted to support and will have games available for, or if this is something that, you know, some guy over in hardware was like, yo, you guys should release a PSVR too. And it's like, yeah, we could do that, but we weren't planning on making any games for it. So like, let's throw Capcom a bag of money and hopefully they'll add a first person view to Resident Evil or something. I don't know. It just seems like there's not a level of commitment there that can be trusted at this point, unfortunately. So, all right, Dominic, that was the news I saw for the week. Did you see anything else that I saw
something about Apple? You know, there's a lawsuit against Apple about them like monopolizing the mobile market. I think the government
is there. The DOJ brought a suit against them. I did see that. I had not read too much up on it, though.
Yeah, I saw a little bit on the news, so I'm going to just half-ass it like people do on the internet anyway, with their opinion stuff. But no, I'm just happy because, I mean, I think it took too long. I felt like we've seen that for some years now.
I just
like
want them to change all bubbles to blue bubbles, Dominic.
Yeah. Well, I agree with. But I just want them to be able to see their videos, man.
Yeah.
Like, somebody sent me a video from Apple, I'll have to go do some conversion shit.
Awful.
I feel like there should be a
like
standard.
Four pixelated blocks.
There should be a standard with cell phones as far as sending information. They make it a standard. Like, look, you have to send information this way. To people, because like that is just such a problem. I mean, mostly it's for recreational use from my end, but I'm sure there's people out there, like, because it makes people get people say, oh, well, so I have to get Apple, because most people, these guys are Apple, and they keep sending me these videos of, you know, something for work, and I can't fucking see them. It's all blurry as fuck as hell. It might be some vice versa. Maybe some people, but vice versa. I think Apple, they actually, it's fine. I never heard anybody say that they had trouble seeing an Android video on an Apple. But Apple, and that's the problem. It's like, wait a minute. So the Android makes it easy for everyone, but you're going to make it like, no, because we do it and like these better videos. But I was like, come on, man. It's not that much better. It's really not that much better. Like, yeah. I mean, I say that's just ridiculous. Or like, you should choose like the conversion should be there or there. Like, say, hey, if I'm saying it's an Android guy, it's going to look like this. This is where it's going to be. It's like, oh, well, this video can't be like this. It's going to change when I get there, for they can be able to see it. Yeah, that is just so dumb. Like, that is so dumb. And I'm sure there's some other things. There's a lot of other things too. In that suit. But that's the only thing I really cared about. I mean, the other thing is I don't really be on Apple. I don't really have, so I don't know what it is they have, like, really kind of control over that Android can't do. I'm not sure. Yeah. But yeah, that's really the biggest thing I want, is just that I can see, like, because my sisters, my sisters and stuff, they have Apple. So when they be trying to send stuff, like when my sister tries to show something about my niece, my sister tries to show something about her school doing something that she works at, she's sending. I'm like, man, I can't see shit.
Yeah.
Then we have to get, so then I have to, we got this account with the WhatsApp or whatever. So
oh,
they
yeah, do
it,
yeah.
They send it through there, or they put it on Instagram. Like, I had to go to another app. So I was like, come on, man. I said, that sucks.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy that, like, Apple hasn't opened up iMessage in the way that they have at least allowed some of the other stuff on some of the other platforms. Like, even FaceTime now, you can do on Android. You have to do it through, like, the web browser or whatever, but at least it's kind of there, you know?
Yeah, I know. Because that's what somebody says. So, like, can you do FaceTime? I was like, no, but I can do this other thing that does FaceTime, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to the same point I was making about Sony, though, like, it's hard to trust Google with anything, because, like, I start using one app from them, and then they're like, oh, we're shutting this down because we've got seven other apps we've decided
podcast,
to develop.
Yeah, the podcast app, I just saw it say, like,
oh, hey, yeah, because that's, yeah, transfer, that just got killed.
Transfer everything to YouTube music. Now, the thing is, my YouTube music, I had a free trial for this month for, like, music, and it's been beautiful, not hearing commercials, but I want to know, are they going to put commercials on these podcasts? I never used to podcast through YouTube music before. I swear to God.
There's enough already embedded into these podcasts.
I was about to say, they can't, right? Because, I mean, because Spotify don't do that, and so, yeah, they can't do that. They can't do that, right? I mean, I hope not.
I would imagine they won't, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't listen to. Yeah, I don't listen to. I never listen to podcasts on YouTube Music. I mean, I started listening to Spotify and it's another app I had. But yeah, because I was listening to Google Podcasts. I was like, oh, just for podcasts. It was just simple. Mm. It was kind of simple at the time. Yeah. Initially it was, and then, like I said, when I started searching stuff, it started being a mess. And I was like, oh, okay, they don't care about this thing. Nobody's trying to fix this thing up.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I have, man. So I guess we have new releases. Then.
Yep, new releases. We got Hi-Fi Rush. That is out now on PlayStation 5.
Oh, my God. The apocalypse is here.
Yep. Cats and dogs living together. All right. We also have MLB The Show 24. That's, as you mentioned earlier, that's out on the Nintendo Switch still somehow. Releasing on the Switch. PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series. Alone in the Dark, out now on the PC, PS5, Xbox Series. Reviews I was looking at did not look too hot for
that.
That's
a shame, man. That gives that guy from Stranger Things a bad name.
All right, we also have Final Fantasy 14 that is out now on the Xbox Series consoles.
Very confusing about the, like, there's, like, look up, if you're going to get this game, look up how you should get it to get, like, for free. Cause, like,
yeah,
you
I
get,
started
like,
to do that last week after you're telling me about it.
Yeah, because it's like, there's a way to do it so you can get, like, more of your time and actually the missions, because it's different. It's different from going through Game Pass or Xbox than another way. I forget, but it's weird. I mean, it's a little weird, but I think once you read it, I mean, it's pretty simple if you read it through, but it's something that people can easily miss out on if you don't.
Gotcha. All right, we also have Horizon Forbidden West, the complete edition. That's out on the PC now, so that's got that in the DLC.
And I had stopped doing the DLC. Like, at least I did more than I did last time, which I did like zero. I mean, I did get further, but I just didn't feel like playing the game no more. Horizon, but I don't know. I might. If I do play again, I don't know if I'm thinking I just might go right into Forbidden West and say fuck it. I'll just go right into that. I'm curious, like, because you know what? I don't remember the reviews on this. I'm curious what the improvements are from the last game. Like, where are they? Like, what did they improve? Did it improve climbing?
I don't recall it being like that much. I think it was still kind of, you know, high sevens, mid eights for this as well.
Well, actually, you said high sevens. Well, the first one got nines. That's worse.
I don't think it was worse.
I see what you're saying, though, because, like, I bet you if the game came out now, it would be high sevens.
adjusted for scale.
Yeah, I think it would. The way that people talk about it. Like, and initially,
I think that's, I guess, why I was leaning towards that, right? Is because, yeah, the way people talk about this game is that it's not the series that, like, Sony is banking everything on, which it seems like they really are. It's like, we got this multiplayer thing and we're creating a television show, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's like this series did not become what they thought. Like, initially, it was, but there have been these better games that have come out since then. Like, I mean, it grew exponentially, like, since then.
Yeah.
Like the whole series. I mean, Assassin's Creed got better since then. Yeah. So it's just that, like, now they seem like they're behind. They're behind. Like, if the second one did not improve too much on the first one, then they'd be really behind.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, and we'll this, it probably goes with this game too. At the what we get to it, the last game on the list. But go ahead to the next one.
All right, we also have Princess Peach Showtime that came out on Nintendo Switch. It seems like that's doing just fine.
Okay, cool.
Nothing too great though. It's like I said when
girls
I was playing
are doing
the demo.
It for themselves, baby. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like Nintendo's mentality on Princess Peach or like what demographic they think they're skewing towards when they make a game starring her, but it's like, I don't know. They always turn it into like, I guess they're trying something different, but at the same time,
I never played the first kind of Peach game.
The first Peach game, it was very much like about her emotions. It was like, okay, it was a platformer, and I thought for the most part it was fine.
Women are emotional,
like,
Daniel.
You know, but like that was the thing about that. And this one, it's very much like, okay, there's some light platforming here, but a lot of it is like kind of mini game esque things that are sprinkled out. You know, throughout the game. So it's a little weird, but at the same time, I don't just expect them to just make a Mario game. So I guess
maybe they're just trying something.
Yeah. So, all right. We also got Dragon's Dogma 2. That's now out on the PC, PS5, Xbox Series.
Rave reviews. But then when it came out, something changed, Daniel.
Yeah.
They add microtransactions, which wasn't in the original reviews.
Yeah.
Because now and it's not the reviewer's fault because it wasn't there.
Right. So, and they added it afterwards. That's kind of a mess.
It's like, because I was thinking, man, this game is going, and they say, man, these people are loving this game. It's like, I got to go play this first one. And, I mean, which I still am. I'm still going to go back to play the first one. Mm-hmm. Then, I mean, I saw some videos of it too, and I was like, yeah, this looks pretty damn good. I mean, it looks like what I want Monster Hunter. I thought Monster Hunter was initially before, you know, like if Monster Hunter had a story to what it was, I could get into it. I mean, I think it's still more RPG with this, but Monster Hunter had like a really great story, like attached to it, like an RPG, like I would be into Monster Hunter, but that's not what type of game it is, which is fine. Dragon's Dogma kind of feels like it goes out the alley. But then I just saw something like, oh, bad reviews. I was just thinking like, it was just like, oh, people, something, it's some wokeness in this game or something. That's why people just playing this. like some bad reviews. But then I saw like they added microtransactions and it wasn't there before. I was like, whoa, that's, bad. And some of the microtransactions I see, they are just to make the game easier, right? And now I saw some of them.
Yeah,
I didn't look at all.
Kind of like some speed up kind of stuff.
Yeah, they have that. But I say
it's like something, some stuff related to fast travel too.
Yeah, because some people say like you can't fast travel. Well, I think you can get it like later in the game, but I guess you can get it at the start if you pay for it. And this is kind of what Ubisoft did, right? With Assassin's Creed, they had those things like level up faster, you know,
yeah,
and things in that nature. Well, or still do. I mean, I don't think they probably still do it, but yeah, that's yeah. I don't like that. I don't like. I mean, some people say, hey, you can just still play the game without doing that stuff. I was like, it shouldn't just be there, especially and fast travel. Like, just put it in the fucking game then.
Yeah.
Just put it in the fucking game. Like, I don't know, man. But, yeah, I have to look more into that. But, yeah, but that is kind of weird that you don't have that for the reviewers or tell people about it or tell anybody about it either. Mm. Like even if you say, maybe you say they didn't have it ready, but you knew it was coming. They didn't, like, nobody ever mentioned this. And like, nobody knew it. Knew about it. That's pretty messed up.
Yeah. All right. The last one I got here. Rise of the Ronin. That's now out on the PS5.
Yeah, this is a game, like I mentioned with Brenton West, like, maybe it's a little behind the times, because games have gotten so much better in that. And it seems like this kind of falls into that camp.
Yeah.
From what I've been seeing, and I haven't read any like really long reviews on it, but just from the snippets I read on Twitter of some of those people who did review, yeah, just and people who show it off, like, the because what I've seen of it, I know people joked about it, said like this looks like a regular like say Assassin's Creed did this years ago on a 360, and and I have a hard time arguing, because I mean, from looking of it, I mean, even though I don't think it's fine, I say yeah, it. It probably did, but it's probably still just a fine game.
Yeah.
But people was arguing about the look of it, the graphically, like it didn't look that great. And I mean, I think they look fine now. If you ask me, look next gen, I think a lot of these games don't look next gen though. So that's it. But yeah. I just think it looked fine. Like, it doesn't look great, but it looks fine. And I guess. Yeah, now the playability, I haven't. Now, what you hear about how it plays? Does it play good or is it mediocre? What is it?
I haven't heard too much about it, honestly.
I just seen people just really talk about how the look of the game and stuff, and that it just doesn't look like a game that's worth like a $70 game. It doesn't feel like that superior game, like oh, PS5 got this, you know, incredible, you know. Right. First person
which
game.
Which is so funny, I mean, coming from Team
Ninja.
Not first
Ninja, person, I mean, first party.
Always was like kind of high up there with graphical fidelity, I felt like.
Yeah.
You looked at like Ninja Gaiden, you were like, whoa, that game looks awesome. But meanwhile, this just kind of feels like Ghost of Tsushima Lite, basically.
Yeah, it really does, yeah. I mean, actually, it's like second party, because like, it's exclusive to PlayStation, but it's not their game. But yeah.
Which is funny because everybody described like Ghost of Tsushima as like an Assassin's Creed light, almost like an older style Assassin's Creed game that maybe was a little behind the times itself. So
yeah, just that I'm just not hearing anything like how is this different from those games? Like I don't hear anything like you like, oh, this does this, and that's of any significance anyway. Yeah.
Right.
Which is, it's kind of, yeah, I mean, that's pretty sad, because this is one of those heavy hitters. Well, they still got Final Fantasy VII. They still got that game.
Yeah. Which I'll say.
I mean, it still sells more. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. Well, I just think as a person who plays PlayStation owner, the games you got now, if you try to think of like, hey, these games that I can't play anywhere else. Yeah, you have Final Fantasy as of right now. Yeah. I mean, if you want to get Rise of the Ronin, but it's not that incredible game. But like, yeah, you're kind of in the the Final Fantasy is like, what's the next game? What's the next game you waiting for? I guess is that that ninja chick that
what's her name? The horny game.
Self Blade. What is it called? Blade something.
Scarlet Blade. Is that it?
I forget. Yeah. And just remember that video. So they just show her butt just jiggling. I'm like, oh god. That's like.
Yeah. When that demo got leaked, people were absolutely going crazy on Twitter.
Oh really?
Yeah. People were all about it. It's not Scarlet Blade. What is that game called?
But yeah, it. Yeah, I was like, wow, they.
Stellar Blade. That's what it
Stellar
is.
Stellar Blade. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stiletto Blade. Stiletto Blade. Yeah, yeah, this got her butt cheeks just like blue, blue, and like just going.
Yeah, there's like, yeah, a costume in that that is just like absolutely insane. Talking like DOA volleyball. It's like
good for those teenage boys and horny men and stuff like that. Yes. Good for them.
Yes, it, makes her more aerodynamic, Dominic. That's
but the, but the internet has ruined me, Daniel. So
that's why I'm playing like this costume.
The internet has ruined me, so stuff like that does not mean anything to me.
Yeah. You gotta see the worst stuff, Dominic. I get
you gotta
it.
Gotta go weird for me.
You gotta get those granny skins to you. I understand. All right, Dominic. Did you have anything else for the people?
No, I do not have anything else. Nothing else.
All right. In that case, we'll get out of here.
Oh, go Orioles. Go Orioles. Because by the time the next podcast, there'll be opening day, baby.
God, that's awesome. All right. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. You check us out on Twitter. Dominic's at DStalworth5. I'm at Regulus MB. The podcast is at Supapod, SUPAPOD. Supapod.com is the website. You can check us out there. It has links to all the places you can find us, including YouTube, where there's a video version of this podcast, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube Music, I guess, and Amazon and all those other places where you can find audio podcasts. And until next time, guys, talk to you later.
All right, see you.